Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the ZF Commercial Vehicle Control Systems India Limited fourth quarter FY 2023 post-result conference call hosted by Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Annamalai Jayaraj from Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us today, and welcome to ZF Commercial Vehicle Control Systems India Limited's quarterly earnings call. The fourth quarter earnings and full year results for FY 2022-23 will shortly be presented by the ZF Commercial Vehicle Control Systems India Limited management team, formerly known as WABCO India Limited. Your host this morning from ZF Commercial Vehicle Control Systems India Limited are Mr. P. Kanniyappan, Managing Director, Mr. R.S. Rajagopalan Sastry, CFO, as well as M. Muthulakshmi, Company Secretary. I'll now hand over the call to Mr. P. Kanniyappan, who will provide you with the further insights into the results. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Jayaraj. Good morning to all of you. I warmly welcome you all to ZF Commercial Vehicle Control Systems India Limited fourth quarter results and full year performance for the financial year 2022-23. We will make certain forward-looking statements today based on management's good faith expectations and beliefs concerning future developments. As you know, actual results may differ materially from these expectations because of many factors. ZF Commercial Vehicle Control Systems India Limited's results for the quarter and year ended March 31st, 2023, were published on May 24, 2023. They are available on the www.zf.com website within the ZF CV India Investor Relations section. We hope you have had an opportunity to go through them. A transcript and recorded audio of this call will also be made available on www.zf.com under the ZF CV India Investor Relations section. I'm happy to talk to you today as we give you an update about the business of the company. First, about the industry and economic update. I would like to start with a quick update on our operating environment, which is influenced by economic factors and the development of the commercial vehicle industry. As would be known, as would be common knowledge, the GDP projections of 6% for the financial year 2023-24 is still the strongest among large global economies. This, along with the rapidly improving inflation situation, steady industrial production, and capacity utilization of commercial vehicles, indicates the strength and stability of the economy. This, the company recognizes, is the time for consolidation and paving the way for long-term growth and robustness. The above state of the economy and industry is reflected in the trend in CV production too. We saw the OEMs produce close to 120,000 commercial vehicles of greater than 6 ton capacity in Q4, which is the growth of 25.9% for the full year 2022-23. The OEMs produced around 395,000 vehicles, again registering an impressive 37% growth over 2021-22. As I would describe in a while, the company made the best use of this growth. I would like to highlight a few developments which are relevant to us. First, on the trailer space. The manufacturing of trailers in India is growing both in numbers and in content due to better road infrastructure and expressways. We are able to support the increased production in this segment by supplying state-of-the-art products like Tyler ABS, Tyler EBS, EBS is electronic braking system, Tyler Pulse. Tyler Pulse is our trailer telematic solution, lift axle solution in addition to the basic braking products. The second segment I would like to touch upon is the bus production. Bus segment was hit hugely in the previous years due to COVID-19, hampering all types of bus transportation. The situation has changed and the demand for buses started picking up significantly. Strong focus on EV transition in the bus segment also provides many new opportunities for content increase. The third segment that I would like to focus is the heavy and medium duty growth. Actually, the heavy and medium duty growth also picks up significantly. Consecutive fiscals of double-digit decline, TV sales recovered by about 37% in financial year 22-23 going ahead. The following factors indicate that the CV production and sales may have a strong growth in the immediate future as well. One is economic growth, then materialization of the deferred replacement demand recovery and higher freight, traction in industrial activities like steel, cement and mining, increased demand for e-commerce and last mile delivery services. Apart from this, the government's focus on infrastructure projects, the express highways will aid the growth of the MHCV industry. Now I would like to touch upon how we are getting ready to support the regulation that has already come in force from April 2023. With the Electronic Stability Control, ESC regulation for buses coming into effect from April 1st onward, 2023, we successfully homologated both pneumatic and hydraulic electronic stability control products in the applicable bus platforms across OEMs, and the SOP has already started. Startup production has already started successfully. With the ADAS Advanced Driver Assistance Systems regulation under draft and expected to be promulgated in the around 2025, we successfully launched collision mitigation system, which is a part of this ADAS portfolio, with one major OEM as a part of our ADAS regulatory requirement. Moving forward, we are closely associated with all the key OEMs and are working together with them for the ADAS readiness. I also would like to highlight certain aspects of the e-transition or EV transition in the industry. So the government initiatives in promoting electric mass mobility through the FAME and CESL tenders, the transition towards EV is increasing, especially in buses. We, as a system solution provider, have successfully started supplying of e-compressors and electronic braking systems to the EV segment, EV bus segment largely, and working together with them to support on the other advanced solutions. I also would like to touch upon the evolution of the aftermarket industry. So the aftermarket of the company registered 28.5% growth in the financial year 2022-23 versus financial year 21-22, which is a strong performance at the backdrop of 8% growth in the Indian aftermarket industry as published by ACMA, Auto Component Manufacturing Association. New distributors have been inducted who are helping in filling the white spots and improve the coverage. The company also opened over 125 augmented wholesale distributor branches across the country. Aftermarket is also evolving from a spare parts supplier approach to a solution provider approach. And through this segment, we have successfully launched door control systems for the buses, rear park assist systems for various vehicles, and hill start aid system also for most of the vehicles as a retrofitment route. These are applicable as retrofitment options for generally the commercial vehicles, that includes buses. These offerings are slowly but steadily gaining traction. Export. The export sales has grown 19.5% quarter on quarter and 16.5% year on year. Some of the projects like compressors for the customer DAF have seen the start of production in Q4. Services segment, the company has registered a growth of 44.3% in quarter on quarter and 36.1% on year on year, aided by the continuous addition of skilled engineering resources in our technology center. ZFCV Control Systems Manufacturing India Private Limited, a wholly owned subsidiary of the company, commenced its commercial production in the month of March 2023 and started selling hydraulic ESC, electronic stability control, and electric compressors. We are happy to say that even during this short period of being in operation, the results are encouraging. Towards the protection of profitability, where the growth is being looked into, the company is committed to profitable growth. Detailed and thorough record keeping accompanied by strong negotiation with the customer has ensured that the inflation suffered by the company is compensated fully in the form of price increases. Further, with its strong roots in Hoshin Kanri, the policy management approach, the company is able to unleash the power of the employee engagement to demonstrate cost leadership by embarking on various cost reduction projects, which are also yielding results. I also would like to touch upon briefly the status of the Oragadam site. So I'm very happy to state that the new factory building in Oragadam is progressing as per plan, and we should see the start of production in the new facility during October 2023. Also would like to take this opportunity to give you a brief update on the CSR outreach work. At ZF Commercial Vehicle Control Systems India Limited, we strive to be a responsible corporate citizen and make a positive difference through our corporate social responsibility initiatives. Our CSR initiatives are based on four tenets: improving road safety, enhancing the quality of life of neighboring communities, contributing towards environmental sustainability, and upgrading skills. Over the years, our contribution to society has touched thousands of lives. In several ways and benefited a wide range of stakeholders. The scope of our initiatives has now been expanded to make a positive difference to even more of our stakeholders. Our road safety initiatives align with the ZF's vision of zero accidents and zero emission, and the Government of India's Vision Zero initiative that addresses challenges around road traffic fatalities. Through the structured road safety initiatives, 88 programs were conducted in the year and covered 51 cities all around India. The road safety programs benefited around 3,268 drivers and 1,832 technicians. Holistic community development encompasses a spectrum of initiatives ranging from access to quality healthcare to infrastructure upgrading. We contributed significantly towards helping school students by developing the basic infrastructure in government schools and the public. With regards to skill development, we set up a skill lab at ITI Barabanki and ITI Ambattur and a skill development center at Government Polytechnic Jamshedpur. In pursuit of our sustainability goals, we installed solar-based streetlights in Ambattur, Avadi, and Mappedu Junction and erected a solar energy-powered traffic signal in Ambattur, the first of its kind in Tamil Nadu. We have also set up an eco-park at our test track in Mappedu. I'm happy to share some of the awards and recognition achieved by our employees. Our Lucknow plant won a quality award from Tata Motors as part of customer recognition. For Mahindra World City unit was adjusted the winner of the ZF Excellence Award 2022 in the ZF DNA of Quality category among 100 entries in this category alone. and was one of the 6 winners amongst a total of 630 applicants in the ZF group. Our employees continue to demonstrate high levels of engagement and participate in various external TA activities, total employee involvement activities, winning numerous awards across several categories in the fourth quarter of the fiscal. I'm happy to share that in this quarter, our teams won a total of five awards, both in the national and regional levels, in the various competitions organized by the CII and QCFI. BRSR. The company will be publishing its second BRSR report for the year along with the annual report and has published it in the previous year as a voluntary initiative. Detailed exercises are being conducted with the help of external specialists to understand our greenhouse gas footprint, environmental impact, energy transformation, and all social and governance aspects. We are happy to state that in some key parameters like utilization of energy from renewable sources, wastewater generation, water consumption, and waste generation, the company showed significant year-on-year improvement. And now moving on to our financial performance for the quarter. For your ready reference, the results were made public at 6 p.m. on the 24th of May 2023. I hope you have had a chance to go through them. Commercial vehicle production in the country grew by 25.9% over the same quarter in the previous year and 37.1% for the full year 2022-23 over 2021-22. We outperformed by 2.8% this quarter. Our sales rest to OEMs in this quarter is 470.4 crores. This is 28.7% higher than the previous prior corresponding quarter. We also closed the year with sales to OEMs at 1,597.6 crores, which is 54.9% higher than the previous year. Overall, strength in the demand ensured that our aftermarket sales were up 22.7% quarter on quarter to 124.2 crores, and year on year up by 28.5% to 429.1 crores. Exports resulted in an income of 295.6 crore in Q4 of financial year 2022-23 and were up 19.5% quarter on quarter and year on year 16.5% with 1099.9 crores. Our engineering and other services continue to provide very strong value to our customers in the group. The growth in service income is a very healthy 44.3% quarter on quarter and 36.1% year on year. While I have shared the good news on our top line, I must be clear that the current period is very challenging from the profitability perspective. Overall, we have achieved a profit before tax of 134.9 crores in this quarter and 426.9 crores for the financial year 2022-23. Our financial year 2022-23 PBT is 13.7% of the product sale. Our EBITDA for this quarter is 18.2%, and for the year 2022-23, EBITDA is 17.2%. We continue to carefully review the environment and our performance to consider further opportunities for action to mitigate ongoing commodity inflation. This is important as we also see softening of the commodity prices going forward. Thank you. We now welcome your question.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Mukesh Saraf from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Good morning and thank you for the opportunity. My first question is on the hydraulic products. So you mentioned that some of those products you're manufacturing in the 100% subsidiary. Could you give some more color on that? Because I'm assuming that will be for the LCV segment, because you'll be supplying pneumatics to the heavier segment. So could you kind of explain a bit more on that, sir?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mukesh. Yes, you are right. This is for the light duty segment. You know, the government has mandated electronic stability control for all the certain category of buses. I won't say all because it also excludes certain categories, but most of the bus segment is to be fitted with electronic stability control. So those vehicles that are in the pneumatic segment is, you know, fitted with pneumatic PSC, which is a part of our normal product portfolio. But then this opportunity came, you know, the fitting the ESC for the light duty segment. This opportunity came because ZF has this portfolio globally, but in India, we took the responsibility to support the customers with this technology. So the product is coming from the global supply chain of ZF. So we, both in India and in the US, so we have secured those parts, and then we are assembling, we are doing some manufacturing activity, assembling and then testing and delivering to the customers. The volume is today in a small way. You know, we expect about 400 numbers per month, largely catering to the Force Motors, Praj Mazda type of companies which are producing the vehicles in the hydraulic segment. Yeah. And this has given us a lot of opportunities in terms of competency to handle this product, ability to homologate this product. Some of our colleagues were trained in other parts of the world to have the competency. And with these competence and capabilities, we are also trying to promote this to other applicable segments, particularly in the EV. But today, the SOP is related to only the mandated segment, which is in the range of 400 numbers per month.
What would be the revenue potentials of 400 numbers? Generally an average realization of what ballpark?
Around, maybe you can say 18,000 rupees or 20,000 rupees per ESC, hydraulic ESC.
Okay. Right, and this will be done only on, we're doing it as a separate subsidiary, is it because the royalty or other agreements are different with the parent, or, what's the reason for doing it separately, sir, under the subsidiary?
Yeah, so the subsidiary itself is started mainly to make it as a manufacturing entity, to take advantage of certain tax benefits which the government actually provides. You know, if we have a manufacturing entity, started a separate manufacturing entity and make the first invoicing before, I think, 2024 March, we are eligible to get 10% advantage in terms of corporate tax. That is the logic. But the other logic is we are going to promote that entity for an advanced product manufacturing. Mostly this entity will handle most of the advanced manufacturing, advanced technology products manufacturing. ESC or even pneumatic ESC, we are planning to bring it under that route, and all the new products, wherever possible, we wanted to route it through that. And this will be essentially will be in Oragadam. Today we are actually doing it in Ambattur, but in a separate area in Ambattur, but in future it will be transferred to Oragadam, and that will be our major focus on Oragadam.
Right, sir. Right. And second question is on the exports business. We have kind of improved sequentially as well, QOQ as well on the revenues. But could you kind of share some outlook, given that maybe the North American trucking industry, the expectation is that it will peak out very soon. So are we looking to add new products there, especially from our new plant, that can start? So some more color on the export side, sir.
Yeah. Mr. Mukesh, in the export segment, we have few major products. As you might know, the brake shaft is an actuator in which using India cars, we are trying to secure more markets at the other parts of the world in the trailer segment, etc. So that we see as and when we grow market share globally, so our production will keep increasing. This is one segment. The second is we are supplying the car compressors. Car compressors is essentially meant for the BMW type of vehicles, for the air suspension systems, air generation. So the compressor, the air supply unit we are producing and supplying to multiple customers who are using those products, but largely on the BMW type of application, because they are our main customers. So there we have been, our sales was growing well because those customers were growing their sales and increasing, and these things are also applicable for the EV type of segment, so we expect that to continue. The third segment is our mainstream air compressors, which you might know that we have started supplying originally a few years ago to Volvo, but now we are expanding it to another customer, which is DAF. We started one part of the DAF compressor about 2-3 quarters earlier, but now from January onwards, we are extending it to another compressor. So it's expanding, the volume is expanding. And we also started supplying the lever for the disc brakes, and that also growing. So we expect the growth to continue, because our growth is largely driven by projects, new projects, etc. Plus actually the volume generation because of the competitive push advantage that we are able to provide to our parents.
Sure. That's great, sir. Thank you so much. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Nirali Gopani from Unique PMS. Please go ahead. Miss Nirali, may we request you to use the handset?
Is it better now?
Yes, it's better. Thank you. Please go ahead.
So I do understand that our revenue is largely dependent on the commercial vehicle, which is cyclical in nature, and currently there are tailwinds which are being reflected in our numbers. So my question is that what kind of measures can we take, to hedge ourselves from this cyclicality? Or in other words, do we expect exports to grow significantly in the next few years on the back of outsourcing from our parent, that eventually the cyclicality will not matter? If you can qualitatively talk about a few points.
Yeah, thank you. So, by nature of the, industry, it's a cyclical industry, and most of our technology is related to only commercial vehicles. So, that we have to face it in any case. But then, the approach that we took a few years ago to minimize the impact of cyclicality is, growing the business in the aftermarket. We have been launching solutions in the aftermarket irrespective of, in addition to the OE segment. So aftermarket is in, of course, that has been one approach. The second approach, of course, is export. Export in 2008 we started. We were actually zero in 2008. Today we have crossed 1,099 crores last year we have done. We see this growth to continue. Plus, of course, we are also growing services business, even though it's not absolutely big number, but that's another segment we are growing. Within the industry itself, we are also trying to position ourselves as a digital solution provider, which we can. The solution that we are developing, even though largely today managed in the delivered to only the commercial vehicle industry, but then it is it can be supplied, the solutions or the competencies that we have can be used to develop solutions for other segments as well. So we are positioning ourselves somehow to offset that impact of cyclicality, but still we still have to face that situation that if industry is that cyclicality will not be able to completely remove by the current situation, but we are trying to mitigate.
Yeah, and that's great, sir. And sir, in your view and experience, you expect this growth in the domestic CV OEMs to last at least for one and a half year, or any view that you would have on that?
Yeah, so of course, there are works on a 10-year timeline in our strategic plan. Our number shows the trend will continue, meaning not in a last year was 37% and all that, but we expect this year the growth to be around 10%, but it may moderate to, 5 to 6%, but we still, that could be a temporary cycle, but from my 10-year outlook that I have, it is still a growth trend. Because India, the certain fundamental change is taking place in the industry now in terms of the road infrastructure, the mining mining area, and e-commerce. So a lot of transformation is taking place. We see the impact of the transformation in the trailer industry. Very rapid growth in the trailer industry. So trailer industry itself, we are now having many advanced technologies to support. It's like anybody's guess. I would like to tell you that in our assessment that this trend will continue for quite some time.
That's great, sir. And sir, given there is a lot of focus on India, any outsourcing target that our parent would have maybe in the next 3-5 years, a little longer term view?
It's like this. They don't have any specific target, but the fact that India is a solution provider in terms of technology, in terms of talent pipeline, in terms of manufacturing cost, advantage that we provide to our parent, we have been growing. If you see last 10 years of our story, we have been growing in most areas. I believe that will continue. Because it is quite compelling, the support or the solution that we offer, many areas are quite compelling. I'm sure it will continue.
Right. And so the last question is on the EBITDA margin side. So you did mention that the raw material prices are coming down, and we have improved our margins in the quarter four. So is there a further scope to improve the EBITDA margins from this level?
We work in multiple ways. One is, of course, our first priority was to bring the business back to its earlier situations. I've been actually sharing this perspective earlier also. Our first priority was to really ensure that we get the prices reset based on the actual impact of the cost in the supply chain. This also has helped us to really set certain indexing with most of the customers, which will work both ways. When the commodity inflation comes down, they will also ask us to reduce. So that process, but at least we will be protecting the from the margin from the customer side. But we are seriously now focusing on the cost as a key focus of our margin drive. Again, we have a very, very structured approach supported by the global parent, a framework that actually ensures that you continuously look at cost down in the supply chain, driven by multiple actions. One of that is localization continuously. And also, we have a very strong engineering team in India who is able to really work on a concept called design to cost. We continuously redesign, re-engineer our products to look at cost, reduced cost in the supply chain. Like that, there are many initiatives. So in a way, the COVID and the last 2 years has actually put us into to press the accelerator pedal in this segment. So with a strong engagement of employees. We are driving that. So we are basically a continuous improvement company because of our TQM roots. I see things will, they are trying to improve continuously. But then, you know, it's also a challenge beyond some points. So, but to answer you, so we have put multiple levers to address this aspect, and as a policy, as a guideline, our focus is to really focus more on the profitable growth, and certain areas where we are not making money or we are losing money, we are also trying to take a call on those products, etc. So fundamentally our focus is on margin improvement.
Nice, sir. And if you may permit, sir, one last point. Given that you said that, you know, you are seeing growth over the next 10 years view, would you like to revise your guidance of 1 billion euros in FY30?
I would request our CFO to...
We generally do not provide a guidance. Is there any guidance you are referring to? But there is no revision per se, or we don't provide a guidance.
Okay, sir. Sir, thank you for answering all my questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Our next question is from the line of Deepak Jain from Enam AMC. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So how much are imported components as a percentage of revenues? And what is the revenue mix which you are exporting to the parent?
Yeah, we import about 15% on average. It may vary product to product, but on an average, it's about 15% of the sale value we are importing. On the material cost. And... mix-wise, typically we do about 30-33% export on the overall sale.
Okay. Sir, on this ESC mandatory regulation which has come on the buses, you said that there are some 400 numbers which you are doing on a monthly basis. So why these numbers are not higher?
Yeah. No, the ESC is regulated for the buses. The applicable, you know, buses, if you see in India, it's about 40,000 buses. Or 45,000 buses, 1,000 buses are produced in India. Of which the applicable segment, it's also mandated for certain type of buses only. So applicable segment is about 60%. So about 24,000 buses are required to have ESC. That comprises of both hydraulic ESC and pneumatic ESC. So pneumatic, both put together, we are now selling about 20,000. We are expecting, because just started slowly applicating. So we expect about 2,000 vehicle sets we will be selling. Large part of the volume. And of which 400 is hydraulic, and balance 1,600 would be pneumatic. So that's the composition. So this is applicable market now, but we expect this to increase. Maybe after 1 or 2 years, we expect the ESC to be applicated for the trucks as well. So then it provides much larger one.
Sir, last question. On this ADAS, you think it's a big opportunity? And this 2025, you said some regulations are coming.
Yeah.
So that is on what category you are expecting? In bus category?
We expect it might start with a bus, or it may start with certain vehicles, maybe a long distance. Long distance buses and trucks could be a segment, but we don't know the exact, it has not been announced yet like that. Yet. But I am saying it also can be for all vehicles also, because ADAS is a very advanced technology that will actually which will alert or it will mitigate or it will also, you know, eliminate the possibility for head-on collision and all that. So it is, the government has already, the CMER committee has already, you know, they are working on this. A draft has been already prepared now. Our guess is that it will start coming in from 2025, but if ADAS has to come before that, other technology has to come. ESC has to come for trucks as well. So this will, ADAS itself is a very advanced technology, very, but there are multiple features of ADAS. It will start with warning and alert, then it could be mitigation, and then there are, you know, the on the side, you know, vulnerable road users type of cyclists and other people, if on the side, if you have to really protect them, then there are other features. So there are multiple features. One by one, it will start coming. So it's a very advanced technology. They are engaging most of the Indian OEMs in the commercial vehicle sector. One OEM has already launched the first version of the ADAS, that is called the collision mitigation system. See, this ADAS itself will be based on radar, based on camera, based on radar and camera combined. We call it fusion. So even the fusion version, we are now engaging some customers. So very many, within ADAS itself, there will be many, many technologies, all meant for avoiding head-on collision or minimizing the damage, etc. So we expect that to get in from 2025 and grow thereafter.
Okay, sir. So thank you and congrats on good set of numbers.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Mumukesh Mandlesha from Anand Rathi. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much, sir, for the opportunity. I just want to understand, as you indicated, the new products in the ADS and trailer segment. Can you indicate what kind of content per vehicle opportunity would be there? And how do you see the penetration over the medium term?
For the ESC and EBS, can you say that?
ADS and trailer, ADS, autonomous.
ADAS.
Okay.
No, the
ADAS and trailer, you wanted to know about ADAS and trailer.
Okay, so, trailer industry, if you look at it, a few years ago it was completely on a very, very, I would say, very basic level. Only they were using the very basic braking systems. Sometimes they were also getting the axles from other countries because it was low cost, etc. But you know, a few years ago the government mandated a trailer code, which mandated certain basic minimum standards in the braking. The government also then mandated trailer ABS. ABS is anti-lock braking system. So anti-lock braking systems, protect the vehicle in and also around when it is panic, when it is brake, when they apply the brake in a panic condition. So today it's actually mandated. But the point is, for a few years, the trailer manufacturers, they were not in favor of using it, so they all approached the government and then tried to get some waiver and all that. But what is today happening is more and more people have started adopting the trailer and the ABS in the trailer. So typically the content, trailer ABS content could be, I would say, maybe around 30,000 rupees. But then the applicability today only, the adaptability is only about, I would say, less than 30%. But we expect this to grow. This is number one. Because what is happening in the industry is, now the increased road, and the road building and all those expressways and all those things facilitate better turnaround time, GST application, all those things are facilitated, better turnaround time, etc. So most of them are now looking at safety as a priority. Along with the ABS, some customers, even though it is not mandated, they are going for electronic braking system, trailer EBS. Trailer EBS is, apart from braking in a panic condition, this is more like a drive-by-wire. It has got the roll stability also, which means on a rollover situation, it will also be protected. So the customers see very many benefits in going for EBS. EBS, the content could be roughly, I am giving a rough indication, maybe around 60,000 rupees type of delta. But adaptation is today in the range of about 7-8%. But all these things are opportunities. More and more people will adopt trailer ABS because it's mandated, and more and more people will go for trailer EBS because it also provides a lot of value in terms of reduced increased tire life, and because it also facilitates lift axle control systems and many other functionalities. So this is on the trailer segment. Trailer segment is something, even in the number, it is growing, because earlier the trailers were only roughly about 8% of the vehicles produced were, the trucks produced were trailer, the tractors are the one which carry the trailer. Now the number has increased to, I would say, about close to 20%. Very steep increase in the last 2-3 years. So both in terms of number, in terms of technology adoption, trailer is today very rapidly, a growing segment. We have very advanced technologies for the trailer segment, including the trailer telematics. So I'm sure that will slowly also find more adoption. This is on the trailer. On the advanced driver assistance system, I mentioned that this is also very, very important for a long distance type of driving, where even if the drivers are not alert, this system will alert the driver to apply brake. If for some reason he still is not alert, this system will actually also apply brake. If you apply brake initially, partially, then even fully. So it's all today available. So we are also, as I said, to one OEM, we have already provided the solution. They have already launched some few vehicles, and there are plans for them to launch more. This will come in the regulatory route also after. In our view, it could be from 2015, 25, but that's our assumption, but it could be earlier or later also.
Right, so possible to share number of what could be the content per vehicle?
Trailer, typically today, all trailers put together on an average, our content is 20,000 rupees.
And for the ADAS?
ADAS again depends on which solution they are going for. There are multiple solutions. The basic solution, if it is only you want to give an alert, it could be in the range of anywhere between 15 to 20,000 rupees. But if you want to fully brake, it could be much higher. But right now, it could be much higher. Again, depends on what functionality they want to go. It can be as high as probably 70,000-80,000 rupees also. They have to choose, which all functionalities they want to adopt, etc.
Got it. So, yeah. And so similarly, at eBus, you mentioned that the Euro 1,000 to 17,000 euro of content for eBuses. So among the, all the products which you mentioned, where do you see the faster adoption, and what could be the blended content currently, sir?
For the buses,
sir? E-buses.
Electric buses?
Electric buses. EV bus.
Electric buses, I don't know if I talked, I must have told about rupees, but anyway, so electric buses today the buses were largely earlier in the pneumatic braking, basic braking system only. For a pneumatic basic braking system with the ABS, it should be in the order of maybe around 30,000 rupees. It's less than the average truck earlier. Truck used to be in the range of 45,000 rupees, etc. But now coming to e-buses, electric buses needs electric compressor. The pneumatic, the basic braking system needs a compressor that is driven by the prime mover, the engine. But here it is driven by the, there's no engine here, it has to be driven by electric motor. So we have an electric compressor which itself is in the range of today, okay, roughly about 100,000 rupees. These things, when the volume increases also will come down, but today that's the situation. Then you need many customers have decided to go for electronic braking system for the electric vehicles, because the electronic braking system is a very intelligent system which will actually be optimize usage of energy, and there are regeneration possibilities. With that, it's the most efficient braking solution. So most customers have decided to adopt electronic braking system in their electric buses. That today comes in the with a cost of about 70 to 80,000 rupees per vehicle. But all these numbers it's all volume driven. Today we are importing and supplying. When the market matures to some decent volume, when we localize, it will also come down. But today that's the situation. So these two products, the e-compressor and the electronic braking systems, are the two matured products that we have already started. We have secured from most OEMs who are making electric buses.
Hello.
May I request? Yes.
Sorry. Sorry. I was on mute. This question was on telematics solution. So telematics solution, we have onboarded more than 100,000 vehicles, and they've run for the last few years. How are you seeing the acceptance of the solution, and how are you seeing the annual subscription revenue from this telematics, sir?
Can you say it again? First part of the question.
The telematics solutions you have onboarded more than 100,000 vehicles, right? The telematics solutions. And now we have run for the last few years. So how are you seeing the acceptance of the solution, and are you seeing any annual subscription revenue from this business?
Yeah. So we are working with one OEM to whom we are providing the solution, both in terms of the hardware, portal services, and end-to-end, including aftermarket support, etc. So the solution, because it's a global ZF solution, it is working. Earlier, it was started from a startup type of ecosystem, but today it's a very matured and robust solution. We still are providing at the basic level only. More and more functionalities actually is being developed at a global level and be offered for all the OEMs. So it is. The OEMs in India are actually providing this for the end customer more free. You know, they are not charging them. It's at least for 2 years. Some of them are doing 1 year, some of them 2 years, etc. After 2 years, the end customer, the fleet. You know, we still have to test how many of them are going to really keep it, or what is going to be the adoption rate, etc. Because we started this, even though from 2020 onwards, but it took almost 1 year for the market to really, you know, these products to go into the market and mature. This year, right now we have about 120,000 vehicles are connected to us. And we have to see, because the OEMs will stop focusing on this after 2 years. Because initially they are using this also as an there is a differentiation to sell the vehicles. They are not charging them. Now when it goes to the fleet or end customer, they have to pay. So there could be some temporary challenges, but progressively the fleets and the end customers also will see the value of these products. Parallelly, we are also now working in the fleet side also, not only with this OEM, but other fleets there. Maybe we are targeting many of the global fleets in India. We are also working. So it will take some more time for the product to be getting a full acceptability and people are willing to pay for this. So initially, as I said, it is being paid by the OEMs themselves to us, even though they are not charging. Okay, now coming to the model itself, yes, we are charging the subscription. Subscription could range, depending on the bouquet of services that each one of them would like to choose. And it can go as maybe 200 rupees per vehicle per month, etc. So it's a good part of our revenue as well today.
Thank you. Mr. Mumukesh Mandlesha, may we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions as there are several participants waiting their turn. Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Vibhishan Jagtap from Canara Robeco AMC. Please go ahead. Mr. Vibhishan, your line has been unmuted. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, hello. Sir, am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, can you just tell us how much does the parent contribute in export revenue and how much revenue actually coming from selling to direct OEM?
I said our export is 1099 crores last year. Okay. Amongst overall sales of 3126. So you can that's typically, I think, the percentage.
33%. 33%. 33, okay. And in coming years, which part of the segment you expect that will contribute more? Is it direct selling to the OEMs or to the parent?
No, our focus is in all segments we are focusing. But in the direct segment, it is more like securing our place. Meaning, we want to lead the market, so whether it is ESE or EBS or ADAS, we are putting a lot of our efforts to make sure that we retain our leadership position. And that involves, ensuring that global supply chain and also localizing, etc. So that's our, in terms of priority focus in the domestic market. That's what we are focusing. At the same time, we also want to grow our export business. If you see, we have been tracking roughly in the range of 30 to 35%. Only on certain times, in the COVID times, our export percentage was much higher. But otherwise, we would like to be in that range, given the choice. But again, it depends on sometimes the projects that are maturing in the global export also. So overall, for your, I would like to give you the indication that it should be in the range of 30 to 35% of our export is something that we have been performing last few years. But going forward, our priority in terms of our resources, our efforts will be in the domestic market, because the market is started adopting some of the very advanced technologies here. So that will be our focus.
Understood, sir. And second, how is the export margin profile compared to the company level margins? It would be better or it would be slightly on lower side because as we are selling to a parent?
I will request our CFO to answer you.
So our exports to our parent are based on a contract manufacturing arrangement. We are contract manufacturers and this is subject to, the margins are based on a transfer price model and the margins are fixed based on a arm's length based pricing. We will not be able to specifically tell you what exactly the margin is, but it is based on an arm's length based principle.
Would it be possible for you to just give us some direction whether it will be better than the company level margin or it will be slightly lower than that?
But it's difficult because it changes. The India market was going through difficult times. And sometimes few products in India also we are not making margins also we are. It changes year on year and all that thing, but globally the framework is like Raja said on an arm's length basis, because there we don't take any risk on risk and liability related to this warranty and other things, because we are more like a contract manufacturer.
Understood. And lastly, sir, I think you mentioned that our import content is around 15% of RM cost, correct? That's the...
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah, and how it was probably a couple of years back, and how we are planning to reduce that in coming years? Given that, you know, we are expected to keep on coming on new products?
So our focus is always to have 100% control on the supply chain on these things. Global supply chains, we had a lot of challenges during the COVID times, and otherwise also now because of the scenario is different globally because of the war there and all that. But wherever possible, wherever there are suppliers available, wherever it becomes the business case is viable, we have been very aggressive in localization. Today our main focus is our margin. Margin also, it is also supported by localization. So localization is a priority for us. But the challenge is if it is an electronic part and ECU, it is still cheaper to import some of these products than manufacturing here because the scale is not viable. And also the Indian ecosystem for the electronic part is not yet fully developed and mature. As and when the industry also evolves, we are also getting ready, but in many cases we are starting with just assembly, why the part assembled here, including our electronic stability control, which gets mandated from April. The ECU we have already localized. But then there, the model is all the child parts are imported by the EMC, electronic manufacturer, electronic parts manufacturer. He imports, only does the localization here, the assembly alone, and we secure. Sometimes this is not making sense in terms of the cost because still most part is coming from outside, but it secures our supply chain. We are able to meet the customer demand, etc. In short, wherever we are able to localize, we are moving ahead. That needs some volume, and even if the volume is less, we start with an assembly here, CKD type of things we import and assemble. So we continue, but I believe it will not dramatically reduce, the percentage will not reduce, because we are also parallelly launching many new advanced products from the global supply chain to India as the market is now moving in the direction. When we localize, then some new products get in, and that we largely import initially, then that adds to the import content. So 15%, 16% or 15 to 20% will still continue as an import part.
So just one last question on industry level, what kind of growth you are looking at for MHCV good segment as well as for the bus passenger segment?
Can you say it again? I couldn't hear.
So just on the industry side, what kind of growth we are currently looking at for MHCV good segment and for the bus passenger segment?
For us, we have not separated bus and this, but bus growth rate could be very, very high because last 2-3 years it was virtually no production. Now the market is back because everything is getting to normal. Even though the employee transportation might not have reached the earlier level, school bus transportation or the tourism and other things in the city, transport, all those things have already come to more or less normal. So we are seeing a very rapid growth in the bus segment, but bus volume is in the range of about 40-45,000 number per year. But including bus, including truck, all put together, we are expecting a growth of 10% this year in the vehicle category about 6 tons.
Thank you. Due to time constraints, our last question for the question and answer session is from the line of Harsh Mulchandani from Chris Portfolio. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So just had wanted to understand what percentage of your revenue comes from the bus segment and what future prospects are we looking at apart from the new ESP product which is becoming mandatory, something more coming in pipeline in future?
Yeah, thank you. So it's difficult for me to give an exact numbers in this case because the industry is it's a major transition is like taking place there. One aspect is maybe 2 years ago virtually zero production in the bus segment, but last 1 year we are seeing a lot of activity. It is catching up. As I said, you can also make your calculations. The industry, the matured volume is about 40-45,000. We are a major player here. We can take probably 85% of that segment we may be serving. So that may give you a rough idea of what is our volume there versus overall our OE sales. OE sales last year 1,597. Gross. But what is important there is the industry evolution. Number one, the ESC is kicked in. ESC is kicked in through the mandatory route in 60% of the volume. So out of 40,000, if you say 24,000 will be ESC. ESC will give us about, I think it will give about a delta of another. I said earlier the basic braking may be around 30,000. ESC will give another 20,000 rupees. Then the third is, now what is mainly happening is most of the government tender is only for the electric buses. So electric bus production has started by all most customers have started. And we are very well engaged with all OEMs to provide them with all the required technology products. And the one is, as I said, the e-compressor. E-compressor, today, anywhere between 80,000 to 100,000 rupees will be the content. It's a high technology product and a very mature product and which we are also quickly localizing here. And the market has gone to a level of to produce this mostly for the buses only, about 250 buses a month now they've started producing. And a lot of customers have got it, they've secured the tender from the customer, so they have to complete the order, etc. We expect this to grow, but today that is a level. And in that buses, many OEMs have also decided to applicate electronic braking system. If you applicate an electronic braking system, then you will get another delta of about probably 60,000 rupees today. So this will be the country with a very high content. The industry is moving towards the high content segment with the evolution of the electronic, the EV transition. And this transition could be quite also rapid progressively because in our view, most of the city bus transportation will become electric buses. And that's the main applicable market for us for the EV in the near term.
Thank you. That was the last question of our question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you. Thank you for joining and also thank you for the opportunity to share with you and answer your questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you. On behalf of Batliwala and Karani Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.